This is the multi-voice text-to-speech podfic reading of Desperate for a Reason by Violet Thistle, composed by Burning Aurora. I hope the pain never ends. I hope I never stop measuring time. In Lazarus's before he rises. In missing heartbeats. In missing moments. In missing breaths. In futures gone. Past inescapable. I hope the wound you left me as a parting gift never heals. I hope it scars. Bright red and ugly and bumpy. I hope I bleed forever. I hope you continue to hurt me. How else will I feel your love? Berkeley Novak Stoltz. Remus startled awake at the sound of loud banging at the door of his flat. He had no idea what time it was, but it felt like he had just crawled into bed a minute ago. It was the day after the full moon, and it took all of his energy to get out of bed and stumble to the door. Once he finally made it there, he held his wand aloft and called through the door.
Who the hell is it? What do you want?
Remus, it's Kingsley. Open up, it's urgent.
The unmistakable deep voice of Kingsley replied. Remus paused, then called back to him.
What was our last correspondence?
Kingsley also paused before he answered in a quieter voice.
You wrote to me about my position on the anti-werewolf legislation that was being pushed through.
Remus opened the door at that, but didn't greet him. He merely gave a curt nod and shuffled over to collapse on the sofa. He sighed heavily.
What do you want, Kingsley? Not sure if you noticed, but last night wasn't great for me.
Kingsley looked at him with a mixture of fear and pity that made Remus regret opening the door.
Remus, there's no easy way to tell you this, so I'm just going to say it.
Fucking hell, Kingsley, you shouldn't lead into news with me like that. I'm getting flashbacks.
Remus said jokingly, but the truth behind his words bled through.
Okay, okay.
Kingsley still took a deep breath before saying it.
Sirius escaped last night.
Remus tried to take a breath, but it was like a hole had opened beneath him, and his chest was falling through. Time stood still and barreled ahead, passing him by all at once. His hands started to shake. The room began to spin as he went lightheaded.
Well, no, it's not. He can't. No.
He couldn't even form a thought.
Remus.
No, that's not possible. Azkaban is. Horrible, hellish, inescapable, torture.
How many times had he cried himself to sleep picturing serious suffering in that place?
No, it's what he deserves. It's what he deserves.
No matter how much he tried to tell himself that, it never stopped the anguish. It never fully convinced him. Nobody deserves that place. Now that was what he truly thought. Somewhere deep inside him, he wasn't so much happy to hear this news, as relieved that Sirius might not be suffering tonight. His stomach dropped again at this thought.
How fucking horrible do you have to be to still love the man who betrayed you and killed your friends?
Remus closed his eyes and tried to shut down all the conflicting emotions within himself.
Remus. Remus, are you okay?
Kingsley was suddenly beside him, and he flinched away. When did that happen? How did he let his guard down to let that happen?
How the fuck do you think I am? You couldn't let me have just a few more hours of ignorant bliss. You couldn't have at least waited till I had recovered from last night's moon. Cersei, if you're calling whatever you were feeling 15 minutes ago bliss, you've truly sunk to a new low.
He couldn't contain his anger anymore. He lashed out and punched the nearest pillow. He stood to pace off his nervousness, but his legs were too shaky to support him, and he collapsed. He would have fallen to the floor if Kingsley hadn't slowed his fall and levitated him back to the sofa. Once the spell dropped, Remus thrashed where he sat, trying desperately to hold on to the anger so as not to surrender to the tears threatening to take over. Remus somehow found his voice again.
Thank you for letting me know. You can fucking go now.
But Kingsley didn't move. He hesitated before speaking again.
Remus, I can't go. I have to ask you some questions.
That's all it took for his anger to tip over into grief. He hid his face in his hands and sobbed, wailed.
You have got to be kidding me.
Remus, I know.
What do you know? What? Could you enlighten me? Because if you know so much, you wouldn't keep coming back with the same old tired questions.
Remus let out a manic sort of chuckle.
You don't have to ask them again. I know them by heart. I don't have any fucking idea why Sirius did what he did. No, we haven't corresponded. Your records will show that. No, I wasn't working with him. No, I didn't know anything about that night. I was miles away. I didn't even know. No, I don't know how long he was AA. Traitor, 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 traitor.
Kingsley closed his eyes and whispered,
Remus, stop.
I wish I could. I wish I could make it all stop. I wish that this life would stop giving me hit after hit. I wish I never knew him at all. No, you don't. He was the best thing that ever happened to you. He was the worst thing that ever happened to me. It would be so much easier if you actually believed that, wouldn't it?
Remus, listen to me. I know you're innocent. I know you would never side with the enemy. I know that, but the higher-ups wanted me to check and see if Sirius had attempted any communication since he escaped. So I came here to warn you.
That I'm in danger, that I'm being watched, that I'm on thin ice, that I'm a suspect.
Remus scoffed again.
Tell me something I don't know.
Okay. Okay. Just, if you know anything at all that might be helpful, any insight into how Sirius might have escaped, this would be a great time to let me know.
What? Like he's a great big mangy dog who can wriggle his way out of any consequences he's ever faced in his life. Tell him, tell him, tell him, tell him. You've bled me dry on that subject long ago. Besides, I obviously didn't know him as well as I thought I did. Liar, 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 liar.
Remus, I hate to leave you like this. Is there someone I can send for? Molly or?
Just go. I'm fine. I've been through worse. Besides, you've got a tail on me, I'm sure, so you'll be the first to know if I try to jump into the Thames.
Don't joke about that.
Remus closed his eyes and shook his head.
I'm not going to jump into the Thames. There are much more efficient ways to end it all, and much more enjoyable things to drown yourself in. Just go, please. I'm just going to go back to bed.
All right, I'll go. But if you need anything at all, just send me a Patronus, and I'll be here for you.
As if I'd be able to summon a Patronus at a time like this. All right, I will.
Kingsley saw himself out, and as soon as the door shut, Remus cast a silencing spell and lost all control of his emotions. When he had finally cried himself out, he dragged himself to the kitchen and searched under the sink for the last place he had stashed a bottle of fire whiskey. Instead of a bottle, he found a note. All it said was call me. Remus slumped to the floor, summoned the cordless phone from its receiver, and dialed the number he knew by heart. Ring. 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 Ring.
Hello. Grant.
Remus barely choked out in a raw voice.
Remus, that you? Did last night's moon go badly? Do you need me to get you some help?
Grant, I need you.
Remus sobbed.
Please.
Fuck, okay. I'll be there as soon as I can. I'll catch the soonest train. Or can you get to me faster?
Remus couldn't answer around the tears.
Fuck, Remus, talk to me. What happened? You didn't fall off the wagon. You're supposed to call me when it gets like this.
This is me calling you when it gets like this. I didn't fall off the wagon, but I can't. I need you, please.
If you tell him what this is about, it's going to hurt him. That's all you ever did, hurt him. Why did you call him? He's happy now.
I'm sorry, I'm so sorry. I never meant to drag you into this.
Yes, you did. You couldn't stay away from him, even when you knew he wasn't the one you really wanted.
You shouldn't come, you should stay there. I'm sorry to call, it's nothing. I can't drag you back into this again.
Jesus, Remus, you're scaring me. I'm coming to you, but I need you to promise me you aren't going to do anything stupid before I get there. I'll be there in an hour, but you need to promise me you'll hold on till then. Promise me, Remus. All you have to do is hold on for a little longer till I'm there, okay?
Okay, I promise, but I gotta tell you what this is about before you come all the way out here, because when you hear what it's about you aren't going to want to come anymore.
What's this about, Remus? Tell me.
Remus could hear the jingling of keys and the rustle of a jacket as Grant was already getting ready to leave.
It's Sirius. He escaped.
Fucking hell.
All rustling stopped. Remus couldn't even hear him breathing over the line.
You still there?
Remus asked anxiously. Finally, Grant snapped out of his shock and Remus could hear movement again.
Yeah, I'm on my way, it's fine, I'm still coming. Don't do anything stupid. You promised.
I promised. You promised him you'd forget. You promised him it was the last drink, the last sig, the last time. You promised him you'd moved on. You promised you loved him. You promised, you promised, you promised.
I promise. Good.
Don't say it.
Grant cut him off. Never say goodbye. It's never goodbye.
Okay, see you soon.
I'll see you very soon, Remus, I promise.
Remus heard the dial tone on the other end of the phone. He dropped it, and managed to get back to the sofa before he curled into a ball, falling into the turbulent sea of his own thoughts again. A roiling mess of regret and anguish. So many times he's failed, so many people he's let down, so many lives he's ruined. He was desperate for a reason to hold on.
Grant's coming, he promised. Hold on just a little longer, you promised.
Remus startled awake a second time that day by a loud banging on the door.
Fucking hell, Remus, open the door.
Grant called from the hallway. Remus didn't move this time but used his wand to open the door. He couldn't get up. Everything hurt, an onslaught of the body and mind. There was no escape from the prison of his own consciousness. Grant barreled into the apartment and straight to Remus's side. Remus started to sob again the moment he saw Grant.
I'm sorry, I'm so sorry, I just didn't know who to call.
Hush, I'm glad you called me. What do I always tell you? You can always call me.
Grant scooped him up and held him in his arms.
I don't know why you haven't rid yourself of me yet. All I do is make you miserable.
Hey, that's not true, okay? You were always there for me when I needed you, and I'm always going to be here for you when you need me.
You've more than paid me back for the meal and train ticket by now. I didn't mean to ruin your life.
Hey, you didn't ruin my life, okay? You've been in your head too much. Yeah, have you been doing your affirmations?
Remus just laughed bitterly.
I'll take that as a no.
Grant sighed.
We'll do them together.
It's gonna take more than a pep talk this time, Grant.
That's fine. We'll order takeaway and watch shitty movies and you can tell me about your new job.
I already lost it.
Okay. Well, that's perfect timing. Wouldn't want this episode to be the reason you lost your new job. Now you have all the time you need to get back on your feet.
It was a shit job anyway.
That's the spirit. You're better than them and all that.
Remus smiled despite himself.
Now, are we getting Indian or Italian?
Grant prompted.
Italian, Indian always reminds me of.
Effie, that's right. Italian it is then. Where's the phone? I'll call.
It's on the floor in the kitchen.
Course, it is. Why'd I even ask?
Grant and Remus couldn't help but chuckle as he disappeared into the kitchen for a moment. If Grant saw the crumpled note next to the phone, he didn't mention it. An hour later, they were eating pasta and watching Monty Python movies. Remus was doing his best not to think of anything more than the airspeed velocity of a European sparrow. This was difficult when Grant kept glancing over at him during the movie. Remus sighed, finally looking over at him.
What?
He looked a little rebuffed at being caught watching him.
What? Nothing.
Remus turned back to the telly.
Let's just watch the show.
Right, fine by me.
He said quickly, trying to focus on the night's Husseini. Once he finished his bowl of fettuccine, it was harder for Remus to sit still and concentrate on the movie. This time it was him who kept stealing glances over to Grant.
What?
Grant said, catching him.
Hem, nothing.
Remus deflected, glancing back at the screen.
Okay.
Just 5 minutes later, Remus grabbed the remote and paused the movie.
I'm sorry, I can't do it.
Okay, wanna talk about it?
Talk about it. I want to scream about it. I want to break something. I want to punch someone.
Right. Let's try talking first and see if that helps.
Remus sighed and closed his eyes, rubbing his face with his hands. Finally, he nodded.
How'd you find out?
Remus's eyes snapped open.
Kingsley came to my door and woke me to ask me some questions about it.
They don't still think you had anything to do with it.
Remus shook his head.
He said he wanted to make sure Sirius hadn't tried to contact me.
Grant's face fell.
You don't think he would try to find you, do you? I mean, you wouldn't be hard to find.
You mean because I'm still living in his flat?
Remus laughed bitterly.
I don't see why he would want to find me. It would only end in a duel. He's unpredictable, sure, but he's not stupid. He knows I pack a good punch.
Would you though? Could you actually hurt him if given the chance?
You don't think he'd want to, like...
Grant trailed off.
Finish the job.
Remus finished for him.
How would you even know? You didn't know who he really was back then. What makes you think you could possibly predict what he wants now? If he was after anyone, wouldn't it be Harry? But he had Harry in his arms after the attack and he willingly gave him to Hagrid for safekeeping before chasing down Peter. If he had wanted Harry, he wouldn't have seen his second birthday.
No, I've no idea. I couldn't possibly determine his motivations.
Nothing about that night makes sense.
Grant didn't say anything. He just stared at him, analyzing his expression, taking in the bags under his puffy eyes, the new scars that had appeared since the last time they saw each other. Finally, he changed the topic.
How was last night?
Remus sighed.
Don't tell him. He doesn't need to know about the broken rib, the new scars, the way the transformations are getting more painful. He doesn't need to know that your limp is worse, that last month you had to call in for a full week until they finally fired you when you no-showed too many times. He doesn't need to know you need a chair in the shower now. It will only make him look at you with pity. You don't want his pity.
It was fine. Normal.
And you still have someone you can call if it's not.
Grant said. They'd had this conversation many times. Sure, he could call on Poppy if he really needed to. He could call on Molly or Arthur. They came and checked on him occasionally, assuring him that if he needed anything they were just a Patronus away. He'd used that lifeline a few times when he was in dire condition after particularly rough moons. He mostly faced them alone, though. He didn't want to be a bother to anyone.
Yeah, I do. I have friends who can help me if I need it.
Grant nodded, still studying him.
Promise me you won't go looking for him, eh? No good'll come of that.
Remus was already shaking his head before Grant could finish.
No, no, I don't ever want to see his face again.
Liar, if you ever see his face again, it will be the best thing to happen to you in years, even though it would probably be the last.
I'm not even sure where I would start to look for him if I wanted to.
Godric's Hollow, Privet Drive, a Quidditch supply store.
His thoughts were interrupted by a gentle knock on the door. Grant got up and headed to open it.
You stay put, I'll see who it is.
Remus jerked himself up.
Grant, no, don't open it.
His heart was suddenly gripped in fear. It couldn't be serious, could it? He wouldn't knock on his own door, he wouldn't be here. Grant had stopped at Remus's warning, and Remus passed him and stood on the other side of the locked door.
Who's there?
Remus, it's Albus. In our last communication, I passed along a rare book about the origins of magical theory. You in turn loaned me your copy of The Princess Bride, which I have brought to return to you.
Dumbledore said from the other side of the door. Remus unlocked and opened the door.
Dumbledore.
May I come in?
Remus stepped aside and gestured for him to enter. Grant stood behind him, looking over his shoulder at the whimsically dressed man with a long gray beard and gray hair, and the bluest eyes peering over the top of his half-moon spectacles.
Oh, you have a guest?
Dumbledore said cheerily.
Dumbledore, Grant, Grant, Dumbledore.
Remus introduced them in a monotone as he closed the door and leaned against it. He needed to sit down.
Come in, let's sit.
Grant led the way back to the sitting room where they all found seats.
Remus, want me to make some tea?
Grant asked, knowing Remus was in no fit state to be puttering around the kitchen. Before Remus could answer, Dumbledore spoke.
No need, I brought my own.
With a grandiose wave of his wand, a full tea service appeared on the cluttered coffee table, including little sandwiches and biscuits.
Holy shit!
Grant's eyes grew large at what Remus viewed as an obvious move to impress the stranger.
Can you do that?
Yes.
Remus rolled his eyes.
He's not special.
Dumbledore tried to disguise his smirk and the glimmer in his eyes. Remus sighed.
Okay, he's a little special.
Remus turned to Dumbledore.
He's a muggle, you idiot.
I'm well aware that Grant is a muggle. I'm also aware that he already knows you're a wizard.
Dumbledore said as he waved his wand again, and the tea began to pour itself.
Poppy,
Remus sighed. They had met once, after a moon when Remus had been injured badly. He would have managed fine. He'd managed worse on his own. But Grant had insisted he call someone to help. Dumbledore didn't try to disguise his smile this time. He looked to Grant.
Cream or sugar?
One lump, thanks.
He watched as the tongs floated over to his cup and dropped a lump in. The saucer hovered over to him, and he gingerly accepted the cup, but made no movement to drink it. He looked to Remus.
Remus, still cream two sugars?
Remus nodded and took the offered cup, stirring it and taking a sip, glancing at Grant and giving a slight nod to indicate it was fine if he wanted to drink it. Grant broke out of his frozen stance and stirred his tea. He grabbed a few biscuits from the tray, leaned back against the sofa, and took a sip, watching the two wizards and feeling very much the wallflower.
If you've come to break the news, there's no need. Kingsley beat you to it.
I know.
Course you do.
Remus rolled his eyes again.
You have a man watching me too. Or did Kingsley make a personal report?
The latter,
Dumbledore said as he took a sip of tea. Remus huffed.
Want to take a look at my diary while you're here? Not much use to you, since you already know every fucking move I make.
Dumbledore sighed.
Remus, you've had a hard day, so I'll excuse the attitude. I didn't come here to start anything.
Why did you come here? It certainly wasn't to return my book.
I came to ask you for a favor.
Remus's teacup paused halfway to his mouth.
The last time you did him a favor, all your friends died. Go on.
I find myself in the yearly predicament of yet again filling the defense against the dark arts position.
Looking for referrals. I've no idea.
What a thing to ask today of all days. The gall of this man. Dumbledore looked at him pointedly over his spectacles.
What?
It finally dawned on Remus why he was here.
Me.
I know the job comes with certain
perils,
Remus supplied when Dumbledore trailed off.
I was going to say challenges.
Remus laughed, because it was ridiculous. The position was cursed. Everyone knew it. You would have to be desperate to take that job.
Aren't you, though, desperate?
I know it's asking a lot, but it would only be for a year. I know you are more than capable of the position. That's not a question.
Isn't it?
Remus couldn't help but ask. He didn't exactly have any teaching experience. His last four jobs were minimum wage and had each ended in less than 3 months.
Of course not. You came top of your class in the subject, and your practical experience is extensive. You survived the war, you survived the pack.
Remus cleared his throat and glanced at Grant. He didn't talk to Grant about the war. He didn't talk to anyone about the war.
My greatest achievement, I survived.
He took another gulp of tea. It burned his tongue. He didn't flinch. Albus stood up and walked to the nearest bookshelf. It held his more palatable titles. His closet was stacked with banned books on the darkest magic.
You should find a better hiding place for those if Kingsley is going to be making Random House visits again.
Quite the collection.
Dumbledore broke through his thoughts.
You know I dabble.
I know you've spent the last decade relentlessly pursuing the study of the dark arts and defenses against it.
Dumbledore pulled a title from the shelf and opened it to one of many bookmarked pages. Inside, Remus knew he would find loose pages of his own notes on whatever subject the book addressed. Dumbledore began to read out one of the notes aloud.
Regarding Inferi, the magical process outlined here on the creation of Inferi does not include enough detail. See notes in Necromancy, Masters of the Dead, page 227. The curse must be performed using specific movement and timing. The animation of the corpse is dependent on the intent of the caster, and therefore will not follow orders from anyone else, nor stray from the intent of the original parameters set by the caster under any circumstances, save the presence of powerful light or extreme flame. See notes in Advanced Defense Against the Dark Arts, page 198, for more specifics on defense tactics.
Grant shivered in his seat.
Animated corpses.
Remus shook his head.
Nothing for you to worry about. They're extremely rare.
He glared at Dumbledore.
Was that really necessary?
Dumbledore glanced up from the book.
They're your notes. I was merely demonstrating that you are well-versed in the subject.
Well, consider your demonstration a success. Now sit back down before Grant has a heart attack.
Dumbledore put the book back and found his seat again.
So, what do you say?
Remus fixed Dumbledore with a glare.
It's the middle of July. How am I supposed to come up with 7 levels of coursework in a little over a month?
I can give you the notes from the previous professor.
Remus scoffed.
Lockhart, burn the whole lot of that. I wouldn't find a single meaningful note in that drivel. It's a wonder he went to him before you. Which means that the whole student body is actually a level behind in their studies, given they had to endure an entire year of his nonsense. I'll have to get them caught up to current before I can even start on this year's coursework.
A challenge I'm sure you will meet with excellence, as you do with all your studies.
You're just glossing over the biggest issue here. I'm going to miss several days a month of teaching due to the full moons.
Understandable, I've already arranged for coverage for when you need. We could also provide you with Wolfsbane, which I know you haven't been able to procure as of yet.
Wolfsbane?
Remus paused at that. The treatment was only just released the beginning of the year. Given he was unregistered, acquiring pre-made vials of the potion would have had to be on the black market, which wasn't as much of a deterrent as the cost. He had managed to obtain the recipe, but it was advanced potion making, on a level he hadn't attempted. He hadn't done enough preparation yet to try to make his own batch.
I suppose you would have me spend the moons in the shack again.
Remus held back a shudder.
It's still available, but if you were to take Wolfsbane, it would be safe enough for your transformations to take place in your quarters.
Dumbledore said.
It's a wonder you never removed that tree. It's not like you ever dared let another werewolf attend your school.
The opportunity never arose.
Remus glared at him, knowing full well that several children were bitten during the war, and none of them received Hogwarts letters.
Remus, I understand this would be an extreme undertaking, but you would have my deepest gratitude and of course my support in whatever you need to accomplish this task.
Remus glanced back at Grant, who had his mouth full of biscuit.
What do you think?
Grant choked down his mouthful.
Me?
Yes, my trusted friend. Do you think I should take the cursed teaching position with a little over a month to prepare?
Grant looked at Remus, then to Dumbledore. He cleared his throat.
What's the salary?
Remus sighed.
More than likely better than any job I've ever held in all my life.
So it's a teaching position in the subject you've been researching for your entire adult life. He knows about and will accommodate for your sick days, and you'll be making bank.
Don't forget room and board.
Dumbledore interjected.
Don't forget about the curse.
Remus rebutted.
I pay extra to compensate for the stigma of the position.
Dumbledore said.
Did I mention, as a professor you would have full access to the restricted section and professor's library?
Remus scoffed again, but looked back at his friend. Grant gestured with his finger for Remus to move closer. He cupped his hand over his mouth and whispered in his ear.
Negotiate for more money, but take the damn job, Remus. What the fuck are you asking me for?
Remus nodded seriously.
Whatever you're offering, double it.
Done.
And the 1st of September is a full moon. I'll want to travel on the train so I don't have to apparate.
That wasn't why. He just wanted to ride the train again.
I'll make sure you have a ticket. Anything else?
I'll need all syllabi you may have from previous professors.
Dumbledore wordlessly made a folder appear and handed it to Remus.
When do you need the book list?
Remus asked, putting on his glasses and opening the folder. He took Lockhart's syllabi, crumpled them up, and tossed them behind him.
You certainly won't be needing those.
Dumbledore chose to ignore this display.
Let us go out at the end of the month, so before then.
I'll be in touch with anything else I may think of.
Remus said, not looking up as he continued to peruse the contents of the folder.
Wonderful. Welcome to the staff, Professor Lupin.
This caught Remus's attention, and he looked up at Dumbledore with a new twinkle in his eyes. Dumbledore stood and Remus started to ease himself out of his chair.
Stay where you are, I'll see myself out. You've had a hard day.
Remus agreed, and let himself relax back into his seat. Dumbledore turned to their guest.
Grant, it was lovely to finally meet Remus's old friend. I'm sorry we couldn't talk more.
Grant took the offered hand and shook it.
Good to meet you too. A pleasure.
Well, I'll see you on the first. Good day,
he said as he walked toward the door.
Oh, I almost forgot.
He turned back around and with a flick of his wand, another book appeared on the coffee table.
Your copy of A Princess Bride. You were right. It was splendid.
Good day, Dumbledore,
Remus said as the professor walked out the door. Remus reached down and grabbed the book that just appeared. Inside were loose notes and bookmarks with the older professor's writing on them. Remus chuckled to himself at the level of irony of an annotated copy of A Princess Bride. Finite. The poem at the beginning is by Berkeley Novakstolz. At Icarus Pendragon on AO3, from her book Lazarus Rises, amongst other things. Thanks for listening to this text-to-speech podfic composed by Burning Aurora.